It's the middle of July, and the Mac News is coming on strong. There's just all kinds of things happening.
Really?
No, not really.
My Mac Podcast 137.
Yeah, I'm hoping that, because I got pizza coming from Peter and me, I'm hoping that the doorbell doesn't make it all the way down to here.
Well, go on, woman. Get me my dinner.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast.
I'm Tim Robertson, and this is another exciting edition of This Is Your Life Macintosh.
Well,
episode 137.
Still going strong, baby!
I'm sitting here in Michigan with Chad Perry.
Hello.
And we're looking at Guy's beautiful face via Skype.
Does that mean someone has replaced my computer screen?
Yeah, it does.
Or you bought a handsome on a stick kit or something.
That's right, handsome on a stick. There's just not a lot going on right now in the Apple Macintosh world, unless you want to talk about iPhone. And really, there's nothing. There's nothing going on with the iPhone.
People are using it, and they're happy.
And they're happy. It's selling well,
except for us.
And we're not buying right now.
That's right.
Not at all.
If anybody out there listening is rich, hey, you can buy mymac.com.
But you don't even have to be named Richard. You could be named Bob or Doug or Candy, absolutely. Or yeah. We'll accept from you, too. So
you see that we got an Apple store coming here in West Michigan. Well, kind of central Michigan, I guess.
Yeah.
Ann Arbor, Michigan. We got Eastern. A new Apple store coming up.
Yep.
Is that going to be closer than Grand Rapids for you guys?
That's what I'm not sure of.
I think Grand Rapids might technically be closer, but Ann Arbor is an easier drive for us. It's all highway.
Yeah, and it's just, boom, we hit 94 and it's a straight shot.
Yep.
Whereas Grand Rapids, there's no direct route for us to Grand Rapids.
No.
You have to turn down country roads two or three times before you get to any kind of a major highway to get to Grand Rapids. So
we may make a road trip out of it.
There's no Apple store coming to Battle Creek anytime soon?
Oh, I think they would probably pay not to come to Battle Creek.
We could blackmail them.
Speaking of the iPhone, Robert Hazelrig often contributes to the podcast, obviously, does some of the reviews for us. He sends out emails quite often. This is how I got in touch with him initially. He would send out emails on his thoughts and opinions on whatever catches his fancy during the day. And this time, he sends out an email about the iPhone. And I'm on the list. Do you want to read that, Chad?
Sure. This is from Robert Hazelrig. Too bad we can't have him here. He said, "Why does everyone think the iPhone is going to change everything? When Apple created the iPod, dozens of manufacturers scrambled to offer us MP3 players with more features, more capacity, and cheaper prices. Again, no one else got the right mix of features and ease of use, even to come close to the Apple dominance. And Microsoft has been trying to develop a great OS for 30 years, yet Apple still leads the way with usability and stability. So what makes you think Nokia, Motorola, LG, and the like will be able to offer us a competing solution? Don't you think they've already been trying to do just that?"
It's actually a compelling solution.
Oh, thank you, compelling. I'm reading.
Competing. They are offering a competing solution.
It's a competing, compelling solution.
A compelling solution. "I think of all Apple competitors truly believe they are creating products that are better than what Apple is doing. So why will the iPhone wake them up to the reality that makes them aware of the art of gestalt? I say it won't. These competitors are too set in their ways, too inflexible to realize, and too short-sighted. Yes, the next generation of phones from these manufacturers will be more feature-rich, but that's not enough. I have a new Nokia N95. This phone offers all the features the iPhone does, except multi-touch, and it sucks." Sucks. In caps.
Yeah.
"It's a music player. But to get music on the phone, you need to set the phone to a disc setting, manually copy your songs to the disc, then unmount the phone, and then program the phone to look for the new songs on the card, and after all, the music sounds like crap. Moreover, the N95 interface is horrible. It took me forever just to figure out how to set the clock on this damn thing. I don't know how Apple gets it when it comes to designing great products, but I don't think anyone else does either. So, no, the iPhone won't change the industry."
Usually I read Robert's missives with, mm-hmm. and get a chuckle out of them. Occasionally I'll reply, but most of the time I don't. Because mm-hmm. I usually read them in the morning and I'm right in the middle of doing other stuff. And right. I read his opinions and I think, okay.
You yeah. haven't had your coffee yet.
I haven't had, yeah. And I move on. But this one I read, and this was my response to Robert's email. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I can see everybody who he sent it to. Well, one of them anyways. Buzz@cnet.com he sent it to.
He didn't send it to me.
No. I wrote back, I think you are under a misconception of how the iPhone will change the cell phone market. It's not that everyone will start making a more useful OS or their cell phone or for their cell phone, but that they will have to start at least trying to get creative and progressive in their technology, which has not happened in at least 5 years in the cell phone market. Right now, at least up until Apple entered the market, a phone software was simply good enough and shipped as is. With the introduction of the iPhone, good enough simply won't cut it any longer, especially in the high-end cell phone market. The iPhone is changing the industry. So that's what I sent to Robert, and he writes back, I don't think those companies feel their OS is good enough, but more importantly, I don't think they know how to get beyond where they are now either, so I don't agree. Nothing will change. It'll be just more of the same and a different shiny wrapper. So Robert doesn't feel that anything is going to change. That the cell phone manufacturers that Apple is now competing against, Nokia, mm-hmm. Sony, blah, 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 they're not going to change. Motorola. Mm-hmm. They're going to stay the same. Their OSs aren't going to get any progressively better. They're not going to do anything really any different than what they have been. That their phones are still going to suck, but the iPhone is so much better. But even though the iPhone is better and is starting to sell like hotcakes, Apple's really not going to change the cell phone market. Guy, what do you think? You agree with that?
I think that Apple is going to change the industry. That the other cell phone makers will probably start going to outside sources to improve their user interface, because, you know, in one way, Robert is correct that they've had 5 years to work on it, and they haven't been able to get it done. They haven't been able to make an interface that the average person can look at and be able to figure out how to use all the advanced features, and that's something that Apple has done very, very well.
Mm-hmm. Chad?
Well, do you think part of what limited the cell phone's innovation was the price point? Do you think part of it was like cell phone companies didn't want to break that $300 or $400 barrier on cell phones?
Well, for the longest time, probably for the last 5 years, the cell phone market has been a rush to the bottom.
Yeah.
Who can offer the cheapest cell phone with the most features, even though features is a dubious term in most cell phones.
So let's say just crap.
It is with mine.
it is with everybody's.
Mm-hmm.
People would give high rankings to a BlackBerry or something like that. Oh, this is so great. Well, no, it's not. It sucks. Those little mm-hmm. chiclet keyboards, no one can really use those well.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice that it pushed your email out to you, so you would have a copy of your email wherever you're at. So if you're waiting for an important mm-hmm. email and someone sends it, boom, it's on your BlackBerry. That's great. But that doesn't mean that the phone was very good.
Yeah.
It sucked. But everybody's expectations were so low.
Yeah, I would agree
that
with that.
You get something that's not even necessarily decent, but in the realm of being mm-hmm. decent, and all of a sudden, oh, this BlackBerry, oh, it's CrackBerry, I love mm-hmm. it, it's so great. Well, no, you love the convenience. You didn't love the cell phone itself. You didn't love the software that's on the cell phone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I disagree with Robert. Yes, it's been a rush to the bottom up until this point. Who can offer the cheapest cell phone
with the most features?
With the most dubious features. Because they would say, it's a 3-megapixel camera. But wait.
Well, okay, let's call them what they are. They're functions.
They're not features, they're functions.
Yeah.
So Apple comes out. And let's be honest, the camera phone on the iPhone sucks, too. I've seen pictures.
Oh, yeah.
It sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I have now used my my camera phone,
mm-hmm.
including the video part of it.
Yeah.
And it's okay for what it is, but that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Did I show you the little video that I did?
Oh, yeah.
My little daughter dancing at Target I'm not going to import that into my computer. It's going to stay on the cell phone.
Right.
Because, you know, it's crappy video. But looking at on the side, you could get an idea of what's going on, and it's humorous. But I'm not going to take priceless family photos at my reunion using my cell phone, even if it was an iPhone. I want a real camera, be it a film or a digital camera. So I personally think Apple should have completely left the camera out of it.
Yeah, and I think in retrospect, especially looking at some of the photos that Bill Palmer's posted, what difference does it make? So what? You know,
I don't even look at that as a feature. It's kind of a
function. It's an add-on just because everybody else has one. Because there's always going to be a dork that goes, well, you know, Apple's iPhone doesn't have a camera on it. All the other cell phones have cameras on it.
But it's a piece of crap, man.
It's a piece of crap without a camera.
Yeah, so they almost probably had to put a camera in there.
Yeah.
But the functions, as you say, that the rest of the cell phone industry is suffering is going to change because of Apple. I'm not saying that their products are going to get progressively better than the iPhone or even close the gap.
But, I think they'll close the gap.
Well, let's hope so. Yeah. Let's hope so.
Well, I think
I hope some comes out that's better than the iPhone, and that's going to push Apple to do even a better job. Competition is awesome. I love competition.
Well, I think it boils down to that. I think where you're coming to is that cell phone manufacturers need to reevaluate what the hell's a cell phone for in the first place.
Right.
And what do people want out of it? You know what I want? I want to be able to keep a little bit of media, all my contact information in an easily accessible format. And if I can have the Wi-Fi, that'd be sweet because I could actually do a little browsing on it. I need a little portable media/information
device. You need a little computer.
Yeah.
You need a little computer.
I need a little computer.
And I think so far Apple's got it right with the iPhone. They're hitting functionality, design.
And this is still the first gen.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're absolutely right. This is still an experiment, really. And there was no guarantee that Apple was going to succeed with the iPhone. In fact, it's still up in the air. People come back and say, they sold 1.5 million of them, whatever it is at this point.
They could drop
dead. But that's nothing compared to what Motorola sells in a day. It's nothing.
And we have no idea what's going to happen globally when it gets released out in Asia and Europe. So,
but now let me throw this out there. Not everybody, but a lot of the people, especially people that don't like Apple, have been talking about, well, you know, Apple's been hyping the iPhone like crazy. And it's like, well, did they really? I mean, they talked about it Steve talked about it at the keynote.
And then they went silent on it.
And then there was nothing. And the very first time Apple had any advertising for it at all was about 2 weeks before it was released.
Yep.
All the hype has been from outside of Apple.
Yep. Well, there was that Super Bowl commercial. Remember the hello one?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I'd forgotten about that.
But they didn't run that very often. And it was immediately after the Macworld Expo as well. So, but no, you're right, though.
There was
a couple weeks around Macworld Expo, early January, and then 2 weeks before the phone actually launched. That was all the PR Apple did on the iPhone. And yet, they didn't have to, exactly.
Let's face it.
We did it for them.
Yeah, they didn't even let anybody touch it. They put it in a glass case and let you press your fingers and face against it.
Yeah.
To look at something that didn't even have anything on, that wasn't even on.
So,
how'd you like to be the person that had to clean that case every night?
So, what I think is going to happen is, and you're right, Chad, this is going to force the cell phone manufacturers to reevaluate their business when it comes to cell phones. They're still going to offer the cheap cell phones that you get for free with a 2-year contract. But here's the thing that I don't think the cell phone manufacturers are enjoying. It's that the cell phone carriers are subsidizing their business. They're giving away their phones or at a greatly reduced price in exchange for a 2-year contract. Apple did not do that as far as we know. The price of the iPhone is, you know, $499 or $599, and the only way we can sell it to you is with a
2-year contract.
Even though that's not technically correct. We can go into Apple Store and buy one for $599 right now and never activate it. And it's, you know, it's a phone. Won't work.
It's really sweet.
And there are workarounds now online to get it activated.
Yeah.
And it would just be a very expensive iPod. And some of them actually work so you can browse the internet and everything. You just can't make a phone call.
Yeah.
But what this is going to do, I think, to the cell phone manufacturers, is going to show them that there is money to be made at the high end, which, duh, they want to do.
Right.
But that they're going to continuously be punished in reviews now for their software.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over and over. Because from this point on, every new cell phone that comes out that's either the mid or the high range is going to be compared to the iPhone.
Right.
Unfortunately for them. And if it's the same crappy operating system that they've been using, they're going to get slammed every single time.
And boy, wouldn't that be a shame.
Yeah. Ooh. Because people have been complaining about the software on the cell phones for years, but no, they didn't give a crap. They never changed anything. I mean, the functionality of the software itself on my cell phone is almost identical to this first cell phone I had in, like, 99, 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was coming late to the cell phone market. I didn't want one for a long time.
Well, and let's be honest with, I mean, the fact is I just got a replacement cell phone from one that was going bad. And aside from the addition of a color screen and the Java apps feature, functionally, it's not that much different.
No, it's not.
No. And I had a I can't even remember the brand now. I had one given to me at work. And all of a sudden, they decided, you know, there were some of our techs that were making questionable phone calls through questionable sites, and they basically took them away from everybody. And it was probably almost 2 years before I went out and said, yeah, damn it, I'll just go ahead and get one for myself. Because other than, you know, if I'm stuck in traffic and I can't pick up my kids, I didn't have that much need for a cell phone. You know who's called me the most?
Your family.
No, you.
Me?
I've gotten more calls from Tim Robertson than I've gotten from my wife on my cell phone.
Yeah, but that's because I'm better in bed, so.
Oh, this podcast now has an explicit label.
Speak for yourself, baby.
Talk about suspicious calls.
Yeah, the worst part was I didn't deny it.
So because of the, a lot of people are saying because of the iPhone and the iPod sales, NAND prices, the embedded memory chips on those devices, are starting to go up. And a lot of people are wondering, is it because of the high iPhone sales? What's the news on this, Guy?
Well, you know, it's just that I've been hearing reports that the price of NAND has been going up, and that was mostly because Apple had bought so much of it at a fixed price. Some, you know, I mean, they had signed long-term contracts with some of the major makers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, since Apple is sucking it all up, that leaves not a whole lot for other people. And then you throw in the fact that they're in the process of changing some of their manufacturing techniques, and, you know, I mean, there's just not a lot of it available.
I think that's probably going to change. I think they're going to increase their manufacturing on them.
Especially, yeah.
You know, if cell phones are starting to come back into vogue, especially the high-end ones,
yeah,
they're going to produce a lot more.
Right, because nobody's going to want cell phones with, you know, 128 or 512, you know, megs of RAM.
Right.
Everybody wants gigaphones.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, that you have to nowadays, really.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Apple has, once again, they set the pace.
Yeah. Well,
four,
you know, cracks,
what is it? Four
cracks
or eight?
Me up is one of the, four one of the phones. Yeah. One of the phones that I keep hearing people comparing to the iPhone, you know, feature for function for function, I guess. Somebody came back with, I don't even remember the model now. They were saying, yeah, but, you know, it only has 512 megs of RAM. So why are you even comparing it?
Yeah, exactly. So Apple is now tied for third place in the U.S. PC market. And who are they tied with? Hewlett-Packard? No,
Gateway.
Is Gateway still in business? I can't remember the last time I even saw a Gateway computer. Seriously.
I can't remember the last time I wanted to see a Gateway computer. Yeah, Hewlett-Packard.
They still have Holstein spots on the box.
Yeah. They still look like cows?
You know, they opened up all those stores, which just, you know, failed miserably because everyone could go down the street to Circuit City or Best Buy and, you know, buy the same darn computer.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you see that Walmart now is selling Dells.
Yeah.
You got to wonder why they did that. Why did
You know why? Because HP took over first place.
Did they?
Mm-hmm. I mean, Dell was basically, you either call them up or you order online and you get your computer. They weren't really selling out of the brick and mortar stores.
No,
and
they never. They've always been mail order.
Right. So now they're looking at maybe we should rethink that. So they got the Walmarts and the Targets and all the rest of them trying to line them up to sell computers through.
Does anybody actually think of Walmart when you think of computers, though? I don't.
No, not really. But didn't Walmart even sell apples? Or I know Sam's Club did for a little while.
I bought my Performa 410 at Walmart.
Yeah.
I actually bought a computer from the funny thing was.
And it was just last week.
Yeah, it was just last week.
Performa 410.
I bought the Performa 410 display model that they had there. And I went back and I got it at a really good price, too. Mm-hmm. But I went back a couple of weeks later, and they had the StyleWriter 2, which mm-hmm. was kind of a small little inkjet printer. Yep. And they had that on sale.
Was that inkjet, or was that pens?
No, that was inkjet.
Inkjet?
You're thinking LaserWriter. So
Apple had... No, it was the ImageWriter.
Oh, yeah, okay, right. Yeah. And but when I bought the Performa, I also got that printer. Mm-hmm. It was like... Gosh, I want to say $299 for the printer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was that much. I think it was like $199. So anyways, I went back, and I remember I got this Performa with the printer at a deep discount because it was the display model. It worked mm-hmm. fine. There was nothing wrong with it. I don't think it was on display for very long. So I go back to Walmart, and I see that they had the printer on sale, or maybe it was the... it was the printer was on sale.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and... complained. I still had the receipt. I was like, I just bought this and now it's so much cheaper.
And did they care?
Yeah, they gave me the difference.
Sweet.
Oh, really? So I ended up basically the end price was like, I got the printer for free.
And whatever happened with Walmart carrying Apple stuff, because I know they did for a while.
Walmart or Apple pulled their stuff out of every retailer.
Everybody. Yeah, and then, right at that same time, you could get them from Sears, you could get them from City.
I remember when they were at Sears.
And then they pulled them out of everybody, and the first one to get them again was Circuit City.
Best Buy.
CompUSA.
CompUSA.
The store within the store. And everybody was very excited. And that was about 6 months or so before the first iMac came out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember driving up to Grand Rapids, Michigan to look at the new iMac on the day that it came out. And I've actually got a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
Of CompUSA, and there's this big iMac picture.
Yeah.
And I was just intrigued by the whole USB and no floppy drive and a built-in CD-ROM. And
that was pretty heady stuff back then.
But, and, it was amazing.
Get off my lawn, kids!
Because everything was just a plain beige box. And then all of a sudden, here's this blue computer. And, if you're a recent convert to the Macintosh, or you're young and don't remember 1998 very well.
Mm-hmm.
How
you shouldn't be listening to this podcast. Right.
How much that computer changed everything. Everything.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, I remember how much people were saying, my God, it doesn't have a floppy drive. It's bound to fail.
That was 9 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a winner 2 weeks ago for our prize for our contest that... It's 12 years old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sheesh, I know.
So he was probably like 2.5, 3 years old when the first iMac came out. Now I'm starting to feel old.
No kidding.
I was going to say, you're determined to depress me, aren't you?
Yeah, well...
First you tell everybody about our sex life, and now you're going to remind people how old I am.
MyMac.com is just slightly older than he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little over 12 years old now, so... Wow. I'm scared of myself. I need some Zantac. Apple pulled everything out. CompUSA was the first to get the store within a store. I actually worked that event.
Yeah.
When they first opened the store within a store, I think that's what it was. I remember everybody was very excited. I signed up online and I went up there for a Saturday and I helped people and I got a free shirt and I got a copy of macOS 8.5 out of it.
Sweet.
It was. I think it was for the launch of macOS 8.5.
Was it the launch of 8.5 or was it?
Yeah, I think it was 8.5, maybe 8.6. Hmm. I remember I got a training DVD or CD that came with it. They had a bunch of little QuickTime movies on. And I was all hyped up on it. It was just the coolest thing.
What machine were you using at the time?
I think a Performa 6500.
Yeah, I had it was probably a very, very similar machine, though, made by someone else. It was a UMAX C600.
Yeah. I saw 240 megahertz.
Yep. Oh, they were great. Especially, it was a 603 machine, 240 megahertz.
Yeah, mine was a 603E.
Yeah, I'm sorry, 603E.
I think it was 250 megahertz. It kind of looked like a large bread box, is what the 6500 looked like. But I loved that. I remember putting a TV tuner card in it. I could actually watch TV on my Mac on this little crappy 15-inch screen in one little corner, and I could be web browsing and Netscape Navigator in the other while Claris Emailer... was it Claris Emailer? Was that the name of the product? I remember it was Claris, but I don't remember what the
email program was.
Yeah, I think it was Claris Emailer.
I was an AOLer at the time, so...
Well, I was that, too, and slightly before that, I was on eWorld as well.
And Great Lakes Freenet.
And Great Lakes Freenet, browsing that, and that's where I met my wife.
And when was that? 98?
That was right around 98, yeah.
Yep. See, I think I just got my first Mac from my brother. It was a 7500, 75 megahertz.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you ever get on the Great Lakes Freenet? Did I set you up with that?
No.
Because that was right around the time that we first met.
Yeah, I was close to when we first met, but I never got on, partially because I just didn't have a line drop in the room where I kept it.
Line drop, for those who don't know, he's talking about a telephone jack to plug the computer into.
Yeah. Sorry.
It was probably a 33K modem, I think, that came with.
Mine came with an internal, I think it was a 33K. It was a 28.8.
Yeah.
But I pulled it out and got a 56K because I was smoking then.
See, I don't even know if that one had a modem at the time. I think I may have borrowed a modem from you.
Yeah.
In 99,
I was... Late 98, 99, I was renting a house on Park Street.
Yep.
And I was one of the very first people in Battle Creek to get a cable modem.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been on high-speed internet for a good 9 years now.
Yeah.
But it was so fast and so impressive that I remember giving Chad, a 56K modem.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I don't
you
need
did.
This.
Yeah.
But I remember I did have to go buy an Ethernet card because that was the only way I can connect the computer up to the cable modem. It's crazy. I love talking about the old time for the Mac stuff, though. Yes, it's a lot better now. But in some ways, honestly, because everything is online now, there are no secrets.
No.
Unless it's concerning when Apple's coming out with a new product or what that new product's even going to be. There was an excitement in the late 90s around the Macintosh community. We weren't even sure if the Mac was going to succeed, if Apple was going to continue in business, whether they're going to be sold. They had a lot of innovative products and technologies, USB, FireWire, all these things were new. It was just exciting to be a Mac user, more exciting, I think, than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
At least for the unknown reasons.
Yeah, the pucker factor was high.
Yes, it was, very high. So I guess there's some guy out there, some blogger, got some death threats for claiming to make a worm for OS X guy.
Yeah, a anonymous blogger claimed to have made a worm that can affect OS X, and not long after he posted it, he was assaulted with insults and demands for his identity, followed by death threats.
Fatwa.
the researcher responsible claimed to have developed the worm for a client and said that no proof of concept or related details would be given. And he claims that the client that he was making it for didn't plan on using it for criminal purposes.
Screw.
He claimed he was being paid for it, but apparently now the original blog has been deleted by an apparent hacker. So there's some question on whether it was deleted by a hacker or whether whoever made it did it himself.
Well, my understanding was that he actually got in contact, I think, with someone at either Wired or CNET, and basically said, I took it all down myself because people are going to find out who I am. He said he wasn't scared, he just didn't want to have to deal with all the BS. You know what? If you're making a worm for a computer system, and you're freaked out because other people are mad at you? Dude, get a life, man. It's like,
what did you expect was going to happen?
Yeah, oh, you're going to threaten our... and, you know, these machines now are not just typing machines. Mm-hmm. These are, for a lot of people, the center of their entertainment world. It's their movies. It's their music. It's their connection to the internet. It connects them to their iPhone, their iPod, and their Apple TV. You know, it's more than just a computer nowadays.
Right. You're going to take it away because of God knows what reason.
Yeah, and you're going to come out with some kind of virus, a worm, to threaten us. Don't be surprised if someone takes that personally.
Yeah.
And comes after you personally. I don't condone that, but I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So, anyways, yeah, you know, the guy's an idiot, so I feel sorry for him, but still. We're going to jump into what's going on at MyMac.com, but first I want to say coming up later in the show is a segment from David. He's going to talk about David Cohen. He's mm-hmm. going to talk about VMware Fusion. It's nearing its release date, and he takes a look at it and, you know, kind of says, well, listen to it. I don't want to give too much away.
He says what he says.
He compares it a little bit with Parallels and what you as the user can expect. And go ahead. What was you saying, Guy?
I was going to say, and he says it in a very proper English voice.
Yeah, unlike us.
Yeah.
Right.
Duh. New up at MyMac.com right now is a new Mac Simple, How to Have a Messy Desktop Without Having a Messy Desktop from Dan Robinson. Dan's a new writer.
Yep.
And Dan's a very good writer, too. I'm really enjoying his stuff. Absolutely.
We also have the HP G4010 Flatbed Scanner Review by Art Schwartz.
Art Schwartz is his a brand new writer. Yeah.
Very well done. Very extensive.
New writers galore.
I know it. And nice stuff. I mean, I think he gave it a real thorough review and an honest
very fair
assessment.
Review. Yeah. We don't want to give away what the score is.
Yep.
But I will say the review right underneath that, Seagate Shared Storage 2 Network Drive, a 1 terabyte by not a new writer, a longtime MyMac.com writer, David Weeks, who's an airline pilot, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
He's an aero pilot. He
can you hook a brother up with a trip to San Francisco?
Oh, man, what's up? He did another very...
We should talk about that, too.
Yeah. He did another very fair review, and I don't want to give it away, but I'll say that the scores are about the same as the flatbed scanner.
Yeah.
And
if only we could combine
them. Nemo helped him with that as well. And another article from Dan Robinson called The Case for Cases.
Yep.
Up over on the blog site, not a lot happening lately. Artie wrote Blown iPod Battery and Low Expectations about he went into the Apple Store with a iPod Nanos whose battery was blown. It was 3 days past his warranty date. And find out what happens. I'll give a little bit away and say it was a happy ending.
Oh, that's great.
Oh.
Bill Palmer does some iPhone case reviews up at iProng and posts a link over at mymac.com.
Mm-hmm.
For those wondering, he's a friend of ours. That's why he posts stuff on our site.
Yep.
And he does some comparison picture reviews of actual good pictures taken with a good camera. And then the Apple iPhone. So it's interesting to see.
And don't forget, he also does his own podcast.
That's iProng Radio. iProng Radio. He never asked us to come on.
Which is a good podcast, by the way.
What else is going on? I think that's about it for right now.
Yep.
What you wanted to talk about Macworld a little bit, Guy?
Yeah. You and I have had some preliminary discussions.
Yeah.
And
hence all the telephone calls.
Well, yeah.
Chicka-pow,
well,
for other
chicka-pow, chicka-pow, wow.
Uh-huh.
I think we've pretty much come to the conclusion that staying right there, right at where the Moscone Center is going to be, you know, out of the budget for most of us.
Unless we get a one bed and we all sleep horizontally on it.
Or just throw the bed in the hallway and bring our sleeping bags with us.
Only if you call me first, Tim.
That's... So you wanted to talk about our hotel accommodations on the podcast? No.
I just wanted to kind of put this out there. I know a lot of the people that write for MyMac.com. I mean, we had such a great gathering last year.
Yeah, we had probably, what, 9 people covering the event?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. We'll have even more probably this year.
Yeah.
With the addition of Chad and,
I'm hoping my brother Larry can come back out
and
again.
And Rick Stringer.
So he needs to write at least one more article so that we can point to.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just wanted to make sure that some of the other people that work for MyMac.com are aware that we're already in discussion about it.
Yeah, and if someone
contact Tim or contact me to, you know, are we agreed on the hotel, Tim, without saying what it is?
The Holiday Inn.
Well, yeah, without saying what it is.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't really care. It works for me. Anybody wondering what that noise in the background is? There's kids outside playing. And
yeah, we've got the windows open, a little fresh air in, so.
Are they on your? Are they on
get
your?
Off,
lawn?
Get off my
get
yard!
Get off the roof!
Macworld Expo is going to be a lot of fun. If somebody else has somebody listening has some recommendations or has a large house that wants to put up a collection of Mac guys to
or
stay
is willing
there
to
week,
rent out to a collection of Mac guys.
That's
for
right.
Week.
Please contact us. Simply send an email to tim@mymac.com.
You think they would still do it after listening to
that? Hell no, I would hope not. Are you kidding me?
Or we'll be sleeping in a van down by the bay.
No, I got to say the ring.
Down by the river.
It's going to be a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully I
sure was this year.
Yeah. Hopefully I still own mymac.com by then, or at least I'm still a part of it. People think I'm joking. The site is for sale. I'm not actively looking to sell it, but if the right offer came along...
He's courting.
I'm courting. You know what I want to do? I want to do a video show. I just wish that I had more time. I would love to do...
Yeah, video takes up a lot more time.
It does. It does. But, you know, there's a reason that it does. Because they're fun.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking up at the comments... I get emails all the time when someone posts a comment to some videos that I have posted up at YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
We have, this was posted, I don't know, a long time ago, August of last year. Sam Levin sent us this video about the
painted
MacBook
Pro.
Yeah. It's been viewed a little over 10,000 times at this point, which is pretty cool. 34 comments. It's been favored 8 times. It's interesting. I don't know why I'm bringing that up. I just thought that was kind of neat.
I still need to get mine posted, the one I just did.
You just painted your MacBook? Or are you done with that commercial? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm done with it. And, you know, I mean, it ends up being about a little more than a minute.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
You going to put a blog post up with a YouTube embedded video or something?
Either that or I'll just send you the link.
Okay.
Put it either on the feature side, because I'm so. Every single time I try to do a link in the blog side,
doesn't
it ends
work.
Up getting screwed up, and then I can't go back and edit it.
Yeah,
it just makes me crazy.
Yeah, I turn that feature off for RTards.
Yeah, well, I would.
So again, not a lot of Mac news this week. We appreciate everybody listening, and yeah, there's not a whole lot that we're talking about right now, but. You know, it's just a bunch of Mac guys talking, and hopefully you enjoyed
it. That's how this whole thing started.
That's exactly how this whole thing started.
It could be worse. Could be a dung bowling.
Yeah. Yeah. We won't talk about the last one. I didn't even post it.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, I thought that was fun.
Maybe someday.
Okay.
So that's our show this week. Stick around for David Cohen's part. I don't know what else, if anything else, is coming up. I think that's it for the show.
Mm.
So when's John Nemo coming back?
Well, he is house-sitting right now, if I'm not mistaken, in San Francisco or Chicago or somewhere.
Somewhere in between.
I don't have access to my email right now, so I can't tell you. But I know he's making some plans, and he'll come back with some Book Bites Live.
Yeah, I miss that.
I do, too. We miss you, man.
Come back, Nemo. Come back.
So for Guy...
Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo. That's right. I like that. Maybe we should start a new segment.
I wonder if Artie will do a segment for that.
That would be a good segment unless we got sued by Disney or Pixar or some combination
probably
thereof.
Probably would, yeah. That's probably not a good idea.
But it's not about a clownfish.
So for Guy, Chad, I'm Tim. We'll see you next week.
Hello, my name is David Cohen, and I'm the London Bureau Chief for MyMac.com. Welcome to Fenestration. My guide to using a Mac in a Windows world.
Hello, and welcome to Fenestration 34. In today's session, I'm going to talk a little bit about the latest developments in VMware's Fusion product. Fusion is a direct competitor to the Parallels Workstation product that allows Windows to be run within a virtual machine on an Intel Macintosh. VMware have a long history of developing virtualization software, and this is their first attempt to develop at something for the Macintosh platform. The product has been in beta for most of 2007, but recently it was released as not a beta but a release candidate, which means that VMware expect to ship the final version within the next month. Release candidates are normally expected to be feature complete and fix of most of the bugs that you would get in a beta, so looking at release candidates is a good indication of what the final product will look like. Now, I've been a Parallels user since it first came out, and I've been very happy with it, so it was interesting to have a look at VMware Fusion as it currently stands and see how it compares. I'd experienced some particular issues on my MacBook with early versions of VMware Fusion, and I was pleased to find out with the release candidate that these have now been eliminated. The most annoying one of which was that I found my MacBook would always overheat and run with the fan running constantly while VMware was being used. This does not occur any longer. This doesn't occur anymore. And in fact, in terms of temperature on my MacBook, I find that VMware Fusion is virtually identical to Parallels. Feature-wise, there is now very little between VMware Fusion and Parallels 3. VMware have implemented a mode they call Unity, which is similar to Parallels' coherence mode. In these modes, effectively the Windows desktop is masked away and hidden, and your Windows applications appear to run completely as if they were running in OS X. One thing I did note with VMware's version of this is while it's not quite as slick as the Parallels version, what it does do is work properly with Exposé. What this means is that if you hit the Exposé button, all your Windows applications appear in their own separate windows in the Exposé display. Using Parallels, this is not the case. Effectively, it treats all the Windows applications as one application when Exposé is triggered. So from this respect, if you are a heavy Exposé user, you might find VMware Fusion more satisfactory. Like the latest version of Parallels, VMware has a snapshot feature that allows you to take an instant image of any running Windows machine. It has a VMware Machine Explorer window that allows you to see all your different machines on your computer and trigger one at any time. It can run a bootcamp partition natively within a virtual machine, just like Parallels can. In fact, in terms of features, the two systems are relatively equal. The latest version of Parallels has some minor extra features, such as trying to offer seamless integration between Windows and Macintosh applications, such that you can double-click on a Word document file and choose to have it open directly in a Windows virtual machine, even if you double-click on it in an OS X environment. But really, those sorts of things are minor features that, in my view, wouldn't be enough to switch between one or the other. What VMware does bring to the party is a much longer history in working in virtualization. They also are completely cross-platform with all the other versions of VMware. So if you have VMware Fusion, you can run Linux machines, Windows machines, any other operating system that VMware has available and makes available on their site as a virtual image. Even if it was developed in the Windows or the Solaris version of VMware, will run natively within Fusion. Parallels are trying to do something similar, but really they don't have as rich a number of virtual machines as VMware does, purely because they've not been in this game for many years in the same way that VMware has. One thing that I have noticed, and it does pain me to say this, is that if you're looking at support for each of the two systems, the Parallels forums has been considerably absent of late of people who actually work for Parallels. It's mostly people who are using the product and raising issues and asking for extra features and that sort of thing. Conversely, at the moment, the VMware forums are very heavily used by VMware developers, which means you can talk directly to the people who are developing Fusion. Now, of course, this may change once the product has been released. So, again, I wouldn't say that's necessarily a feature which means that you might want to go for one version of the software over the other. But I just thought it was worth commenting. Now, one thing that is clear is that VMware are specifically gunning for Parallels and their market share. They have priced the Fusion product identically to that of Parallels. And indeed, at the moment, if you were to pre-register to buy the software when it's released, you get it for a half-price discount, so effectively you can buy it for $39.99, which is half the full retail price once the product is released. Again, this approach mirrors very much the way Parallels took their software forward when they first launched it. VMware does offer a number of features that aren't available with Parallels, such as multiprocessor support if you have Mac Pros. I don't feel in a position that I can make any sort of specific recommendations before VMware Fusion is actually released as the final product. I have been pleasantly surprised by how good the release candidate is. And certainly I think that if you're in a position where you've just bought an Intel Mac and you're trying to decide which of the two products you want to use for Windows virtualization, that's quite a tough call. If you already own Parallels, it's difficult to see at the moment whether Fusion will have enough features to actually make you want to change platforms and move to their product rather than Parallels in the future. As I've said in the past, I expect there to be a titanic struggle in this marketplace as these two guys slug it out. Parallels did release version 3 a couple of months ago, and in this week, in response to the release candidates of Fusion, they did release a bug fix for version 3. It remains to be seen whether they have any more features hidden in their programmer sleeves they're going to roll out as a spoiler when Fusion actually goes final version. Naturally, once Fusion is finally released, I will do a full and comprehensive review and also some performance benchmarks to compare it against Parallels. That's going to do it for this session. As always, questions or comments to davidcohen@mymac.com. Until the next time.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.